Blog Talk Radio.
What started out as a normal day this past Tuesday in Shreveport, Louisiana, at La Tierra Apartments, turned out to be anything but that, when shortly after 6 p.m., when residents, adults, and kids were outside enjoying the evening, shots rang out through the neighborhood. There were at least 40 to 50 rounds fired in La Tierra Apartments. No one was arrested, and no one was injured. But that is becoming the norm in Shreveport, Louisiana. It's almost impossible to turn on your local news station or to pick up the Shreveport Times without seeing that there has been another killing or shooting in Shreveport, Louisiana. Today we are going to be addressing the issues of shootings in Shreveport, Louisiana. Our guests today will be Pastors Lonnie and Angela Spates. Robert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hey, this is Rob Thomas Jr., and we are basically highlighting all the shootings and violence here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And again, we'd like to thank our guests, Pastor Lonnie and Angela Spates, for joining us to talk about this subject. But before we go off into that subject, I want to highlight a subject that's making national news throughout the country, and it has to deal with a situation in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a Tanz Kutcher case. Police officer Betty Shelby was acquitted of murdering, of manslaughter, which is the charge that she was charged with, of Tanz Kutcher. What we have to understand, now I could go on and read this to you, but I'm pretty sure it should be well known to a lot of people, because if you look at social media, you have people commenting on it. But I want to highlight something a little bit deeper. What we are witnessing is police departments throughout the country who basically are thrown into neighborhoods that look like war zones. Because you got to realize, a lot of the police that are being placed in the black community are coming back from these foreign wars where they committed, in my belief, a lot of these war crimes. And now you have a bunch of mentally ill police officers in the black community that look just like the communities they came back from in Iraq and Afghanistan, because we are slaughtering each other like animals in the streets. So you have a bunch of mentally ill and scared police officers in your neighborhood. And what we must realize as black people is that until we step up and take control and patrol our own neighborhood, your police presence are going to be heavy in your neighborhood. And when the police kill you, most likely all they're going to do is get a couple of days off with paid leave, and they're eventually going to probably beat the charge. But when we kill each other, you're going to jail for life, people. And basically what you have, again, is a neighborhood, a community with the no snitching policy. Well, we won't tell on these people who are doing all the shootings, because at the same time they had a shooting in La Tierra, which is considered a black community, on Tuesday. That same Tuesday afternoon, boys in the hood visited Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because on South Uri Drive, in a quote-unquote, so much, I guess you would say, a white portion of the town, you had a shooting with two white guys was involved in a drug dealing with a third guy. We don't know what race he was, but, again, it's not about race. But you had two white guys get shot. So what we're witnessing is an epidemic of violence that's starting to cross all racial and social boundaries here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it's getting to the point where my friend Alfonso always said, it's reaching crisis proportions, because we're on pace. I think we had like 30, 40 murders last year, but we're on pace to double that this year, and we're not even halfway into the year. But the story
That's
out of 46. Oklahoma, 46? I mean, we had 46 last year? And what we have right now, we're at least at about 23, 20? Yeah.
22.
So we're 22. We're on pace to shatter last year's record. And again, we're not trying to put the emphasis on race, because what we're starting to see is that the violence is starting to cross all racial, social, and other backgrounds. And it's becoming a situation where violence is becoming the norm in Shreveport. Now, I'm not going to even take the time to read this story, because we have two very special guests on today. And there are activists who are very, very heavily involved in the community here in Freeport as far as trying to combat the violence. What we want to do right now is allow Pastor Lonnie and Angela Spates to introduce themselves and give their credentials as to their credibility and their, you know, their qualifications to be talking to the public today on this subject. If you all don't mind, you all can go. Pastor Lonnie, we allow you to go first, and then Sister Angela, we allow you to go after Pastor.
Yes, sir. Well, good afternoon. First of all, we want to thank you all for considering us, having us on today. I am Pastor Lonnie Spates. I pastor in the city of Bossier. Mind you, I don't live in the city of Shreveport. My wife and I, we live in the city of Bossier. We pastor City of Truth Worship Center in Bossier City. We've been there for 6 years now, pastoring. And so, at least 6 years. And so, we're just a voice crying in the wilderness, trying to cut off this spirit of murder, spirit of hatred, spirit of violence, in the city of Shreveport. So far, we have seen the murder rate stop, if I could say that. But the shooting happened, so we won't quit. My wife and I are attacking it from a biblical standpoint. Every little bit helps, but we think that if we'll get changed, we'll get changed. It'll come from heaven, but it'll come from the voice of people, bodies of believers that have come together, people that will come together for the common cause of peace on the streets, and so that these young black men can quit dying in the street at the hands of any man, but specifically, topically today, at the hands of each other, black on black crime, and I agree. When you get the egregious acts of a police officer that shoots down an unarmed man, we should do what we need to do. And I understand the protest, peaceful protest, is a right of all Americans. Amen. And so, but at the same time, if a murder is a murder, a death is a death.
Amen.
And so you can't, you know, that mother that loses a son at the hands of a police officer is just as hurt as the mother that loses a son at the hands of a rival gang member or in a situation. So my wife and I are ordained ministers. The United Pentecostal Church International. We are legitimate pastors and we are a legitimate pastor and first lady and evangelist, and we are a legitimate father and mother. And so you, in order to be a mother or father today, you've got to be able to feel the hurt of another parent. So this thing that we're doing is born out of not wanting being a parent and not wanting other parents to suffer what these 46 last year and these 22 parents this year, mothers and fathers, are suffering through. So I'll let my wife come on now and add to that.
Amen. Good afternoon. As said, I'm Angela Spates. And I grew up in Shreveport, right there on the Cooper Road, what we call Martin Luther King area now, but it was Cooper Road in my time. I have a number of family that live in Shreveport, and not only that, just a lot of connections. And so, therefore, our interest is great. Our interest is very great. And as my husband said, my main thing is a voice crying in the wilderness as a mother and as one that have seen violence in a firsthand effect. And my passion about what goes on in our city is that there has to be a change, and there has to be a great change, but I think that the change needs to be made from every arena and in our city that makes a great difference in our community. And what I mean by that, when I talk about the cedar problem, I know that this is, as you said, a spiritual problem, and I also look at it as a city problem. And when I say a city problem, I'm looking at city government. I'm looking at the religious / spiritual influences in our city, as well as the economical and the educational arena in our city, and which these are the areas that make up our community, and these are the areas that have great power and influence over our communities. And we can sit back and say all day long, it's their problem, they're killing up each other. It's a Queensburg problem or an Allendale problem or a Lakeside problem, when really it's a city problem. And the reason why I say it's a city problem, because you don't hear, I'm looking to hear a cry that comes forth from the government, from city government, saying, let's put some things in place. Let's go into the communities. Where's the representation? Where is the core of the problem? When you got young black men that are laying in the street, that bloodshed, then that tells me you got children that are being left orphaned. You got homes that are being left with great slack and great lack. When there are things that we should come together as a city and as a community and see what is needed and what we can do to help our people from turning to this violence and getting to this place of despair. Well, we know we can't do everything, but we can do something. And so thing is that we need to start being a voice for our own people. We need to start being a voice for our own community.
Right.
We need to start being a voice and come forth and take responsibility. When you got schools closing down, but you got more casinos coming in. Well, me as a parent, as a grandparent, as a city resident, yeah, I have a problem with that. Because how can we not sustain the educational system in our communities, but yet we paying taxes? Where are our tax dollars going?
To the prison.
You know,
we're the only ones that our streets are being filled with funeral processions on Saturdays, but yet it's still many of these businesses and many of these operations and many people in the government that have resources, that have opportunity to help us, they're going on vacation.
Pastor Angela Space, if you don't say anything else in this interview, you just preach. You just preach.
She passionate about it, ain't it? She passionate about it.
Yeah, and I have to
Alfonso,
agree.
Hold on. Alfonso, let me jump in right here, because I got to piggyback on what Sister Angela was saying. Because we got a lot of black people in the black power movement who think that black-on-black crime is just a figment of the media's imagination. But let me give y'all some real startling facts, some reality. Now, just last year in Chicago alone, you had almost 700 black people kill other black people. This year in Baltimore, the problem is so bad, well, black-on-black crime, where the mayor of Baltimore, who is a black lady, has reached out to the federal government to come in and stop the black-on-black violence. Now, let me give you an example. In the last 5 years, the police throughout all America have killed maybe 400 black people. Again, how does that compare with 700 being murdered just in Chicago
in
last
one
year
city.
Alone? You're in one city. So what you're seeing is a group of people, which is us as a black community, who are slaughtering on average 9,000 people a year throughout America. It would take the police, I'm just keeping it real, it would take the police throughout all America almost 30 years to kill as many black folks as we have killed basically in just the last 5 years. So the problem of black-on-black violence is leading to the problem with police killing blacks and getting away with it. Because first and foremost, if you are hiding criminals out in your neighborhood, you can expect a heavy police presence in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get off the police killing blacks, and we're going to talk about what's going on in our neighborhood. Because until we control and patrol our own neighborhood, the police don't come to your neighborhood. So right. We're going to go ahead and let you kick it off, Alfonso, and get this show rolling.
Great. I mean, you hit a lot of great points that needed to be talked about, because the mayor hadn't said it, and I think I said this last week on the show. Mayor Ollie Tyler haven't said it. The chief of police hadn't said it, but I'm going to say it, even if they disagree with me, that what's going on in Shreveport, it is a crisis. It is a crisis, and we have too many of our people sitting down that's in powerful positions that can help do things, and they're not saying a mumbling word. And if the problem doesn't lay on your doorstep, then I guess it just doesn't bother you. But we have too many black pastors. Exactly. We have too many black pastors and black city leaders, but they have white agendas. And our kids are dying. Our kids are dying. Blood is spilling on the streets of Shreveport every day. But if there's violence in the mind, then there will be violence on the streets. That's a guarantee. And we can't put every victim in the same cup, and we can't put every perpetrator in the same cup. But we have a serious crisis on our hands in Shreveport, and one of the reasons we invited you all to come on to the show, because I didn't see you out there just joining hands and praying. I heard you speak about the issue, you know, and I heard you address the issue uncut. And that's what needs to be done. We need to address the issue so we can find out what's going on. If we have city councils that can get on a plane and fly to other cities that have had these issues occur, and they have turned things around. And then you can find out what you need to do in Shreveport to turn things around. Okay, so here's what the police said. And Robert said it one day on the show, and I agree with him, that the police can't do it alone. They need our help. If we know something, we should say something. We totally agree with that. But here's what happened. A few weeks ago, a story was done on Channel 12 News. Well, in a certain area in Shreveport, the residents in that area had complained to the police department over and over again about drug and gang activities at a certain house in that area. Well, the police didn't do anything about it. One lady stopped a police officer, and he gave her the number to the traffic department and said, call them, and they'll get the address, and then they'll deal with it. Well, a killing occurred, so that's when the police finally came out. So these people here, they were doing right. They saw something, they heard something, and they said something, but the police did nothing. The police did nothing. Okay, so what do we do then when the police department, they know what's going on and they don't do anything? They give a deaf ear to what's going on. We know we cannot put a police officer at every door. So, yeah, people need to speak up. But then when they speak up and nothing happens, then they be quiet because they're like, well, maybe the police officers are involved in it. Or me speaking up is not going to change anything. So I become quiet. But we have a crisis in Shreveport where you're scared to let your children go outside. And in a lot of your apartments over there, I just happened to be in the area when the shooting occurred. And I saw the guys with the assault rifles and stuff, and two apartments got shot up. And one apartment that got shot up, the family had just moved in there that past weekend, and the next day their furniture was scheduled to arrive. Well, to God be the glory, they were not at home, but their apartment got shot up pretty bad. And if anybody had been in the tub at that particular time, they would have been killed.
So the fact of the matter is, if I can say,
Let's go ahead, Pastor Lonnie. Go ahead. We want you to tell us. We just want you to go ahead and expound on this situation.
Well, what I was about to say is when you call the police and they don't respond, they should be held accountable, and then. If they're not held accountable, then you go to the city council, because the city council, let's think about it, city council, okay? They are the people, they should be the watchdogs over fire, community development, all those other entities. The city council, are the ones that should be the fire, the police, public works, all those different areas. They fall under the leadership of the city council. So then you got to look at who is my councilman, who's the councilman for that area, and so if the councilman for that area does not respond to the area, vote them out.
Exactly.
And they must understand that we will vote you out. That is what's going to happen, because the vote is more powerful than we give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
More powerful. You have to vote them out.
Oh.
Amen.
Okay,
that's what you have to do.
Right. Okay. So from a biblical perspective, what are we missing? Because surely we're missing something. Because if we look back at history, and it's always said, history is our teacher. And I'm not against praying, because I am a praying man. But sometimes I believe that we can pray until the river meets the sea. If when we stop praying, we don't do anything, then nothing is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So after we pray, we must get up and get out
mm-hmm.
and do something. We pray and go like, well,
right.
I'm going to leave it in God's hand. And to me, sometimes you either saying, I don't care about the issue, or I just don't
mm-hmm.
know what to do. And the easy way to address something is not to address it.
Right.
And let me say something real quick. Let's just take this to the Bible. David, God's servant David, the Bible tells us he was the apple of God's eye. David was the most praying man probably in history that we know of. But guess what? Every time David uttered up a prayer unto the Most High God, he had to get up off his knees and go and fight the battle. So the Bible tells us
mm-hmm.
faith without works is dead. So we can
right.
sit around here and continue to ask our Savior Jesus to take the wheel. But if we don't help
mm-hmm.
him, you know what I'm saying, fight the battle, give him directions as to where to go, our communities are going to continue to be lost, y'all. You got to get out and do something. Now, again, everybody hit on the fact that we have to start holding the police department accountable. But how can we hold them accountable and ask them to do something when you're hiding these killers out in your neighborhood? Half the
mm-hmm.
murders in Shreveport over the last 3 years have not been solved because people in the neighborhood know who's committed the murders, but they won't say
That's
a
right.
dang thing to stop
That's
it or
right.
to do nothing. So, again, until you get up off your knees and actually get out there and fight, do not expect change, because even God's servant David had to get out and fight the battles. Now, y'all go ahead.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So, again, pastors, what are we missing? Something we're missing. What is
okay.
it?
I'm going to let my wife go, and then I'll come back.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, the main thing that I think that we're missing is accountability.
Right.
Is like Pastor Space was saying, accountability from a biblical perspective. We have to get into the mindset that righteousness and establishment is not just for the church. It's not,
it's not just
a Christian. When you come out here and you advertise and you run for your political offices, there are some things that you promise the people. Number one, you're supposed to be looking after the welfare and the benefit of the people. And so when you get in that office and you don't do what you're supposed to do, you should be held accountable, but you're not going to be held accountable unless the people that put you in office raise up a voice to call you for accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
No more.
That's right.
The biblical perspective is this. You got people in the community. How many abandoned houses do you see in the community? How many abandoned houses, run-down houses that the city owns? That the city owns, that nobody lives in, but yet and still you got people that hang out on the streets, and you got a very few people that have the opportunity to be home owners according to the amount of people that we have in the city. Okay,
right.
That's a city problem. Mm-hmm. Then you have even in our arena where you have religious slash spiritual influence. We have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
As people, men and women of God, we have a responsibility to serve the people and serve that we live in. That means in righteousness. That means that there are some things that the church need to do for the community that we serve. Everything can be sold. We cannot come under the power of the dollar in every aspect. At some point,
right,
we have to care about making a difference in people's lives and not just making a dollar. And so if the people that we serve don't raise up their voice and hold us to accountable, we're human just as anybody else. But if we don't have a conviction from God, and we understand everybody
right,
don't, everybody don't have to have a conviction about robbing a bank, but everybody knows the law and the consequences
mm-hmm.
of robbing a bank.
Yeah.
And so until we take responsibility as a people, as a city, and I say this the way that I feel about it, every arena of the city, those that are in government, because, and I'll say this and I'll let somebody else speak, look at the core of the problem. If you got young people, 30 years old and younger, lying dead in the street, but all the city representation is from a whole nother generation, where is the connectivity? Somewhere we're dropping the ball. Where's the representation? Whereas people that can connect to the young
men, young people. Mm-hmm.
Instead of throwing them all away, oh, they're killing each other. Give them some hope. Give them some hope. Go into their communities. Go into their neighborhood. Come down off your high horses and see what's going on in their family. Help those children that go to school and don't have everything that they need. Help those mothers. There's some single mothers in this city that are working and trying to raise their children.
You hit on, Pastor Angela, you hit on some things there, and it made me think that some blacks, not a lot of blacks, I think it's gotten to the point to where they have been down for so long to being down just don't bother them anymore. Where they're at, they think they will always be.
Yes.
And I think that we have also gotten away from family values.
Yes.
We don't sit at the table anymore as a family like we used to, and we would eat dinner and we would talk about what happened throughout that day or whatever. I was in a restaurant a few days ago, and the family, about 8 or 9, and everybody sitting at the table had a cell phone, but that's not family time. When we come to the table for family time, family time should be just that. We should leave our electronic devices to the side there. But when we don't validate our kids at an early age, they look for validation from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets will validate our kids. But I think a lot of this can also go back to who raises us, how they raise us, what we see, what we're taught, what we believe. Because, again, if I don't value my life, then you know I'm not going to value your life. And because I'm so frustrated on the inside with how my life is, the least something a person does, it will tick me off, and I will just go off because I got so much anger on the inside of me, and nobody's listening to me. It's like this. When you raise a little boy, and he's 8 or 9 years old, and you tell him he's bad, well, he begins to really think that he is a bad child. And if he thinks that, then eventually begins to act that out in life. And if you have a little girl that she's fast, she's just hot in the butt, well, again, she's going to do the exact same thing. And we have too many baby mamas and baby daddies. There's no more fathers and mothers. That's what we need. I think we need to get back, and this is just me, pastors, we need to get back to family values, and I'm getting some feedback from somewhere, but we need to get back to family values. I think that will help a lot as to what's going on, because in a lot of the cases, not all of them, but in a lot of the cases, pastors, I think when you look, these are not older people that are committing the crime. Some of these are like young people, and so they don't value themselves, and if they don't value themselves, then they don't value you.
Well,
you know.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Let me jump in just for a second because I want Pastor Lonnie.
Okay.
Him and I just talked a minute ago about what we think. We know what the problem is, but Pastor Lonnie gave some good answers as far as the solution. I want to say this before I ask Pastor Lonnie to come in and take as much time as he needs to explain the problem and solution from a spiritual point of view. But in my point of view, we have a young generation of people who walking around here living in a big video game. All the rap music mm-hmm. that they're listening to, the video games that they're playing, the movies and television shows that they're watching, all portray violence as an acceptable norm. You see what I'm saying? We have a bunch
That's right.
We have a generation of people running around here living like they playing a game of a Grand Theft Auto in real life. So, Pastor Lonnie, I
exactly.
want you to explain to the people, all our listeners, and again, take as much time as you need, explain to them spiritually how does the video games, the movies, and the music that we listening to, see, and hear affect our spiritual condition?
It's because it actually desensitized every listener, everyone that takes this stuff in. It desensitizes them concerning the value of life, and so that thing is rehearsed over and over and over. You know, you can't look at go. I don't play those video games because you know you got Call of Duty and you got. You know, you got all these different video games, Grand Theft Auto. They got versions of it that is almost a world of virtual reality, you know. And so time after time, these young people, they'll play those games and they'll go on the street. And the first thing they do, you have art imitating life.
Mm-hmm.
You got people who are taking what a movie produces, and they'll go out and they imitate that. That's why you got people, you think about it. You got a young kid who watches Michael Jordan back in the day, and so everybody wanted a number 23 jersey and Jordan tennis shoes, and they'd be out on the basketball court. And so they are imitating that art form of Michael Jordan, and so they're bringing it to life. And so the same thing. So the worst thing we could ever done was glamorize being, You know, it started with Boys in the Hood and so forth and so on. And so they began to glamorize selling drugs, glamorize living their lives according to, you know, glamorize being a pimp, a hustler, and so forth and so on. And the sad part about it, the parents they sat there and they watched their kids imitate all this stuff, and they watched their kids come in and dress like them, and they bought the clothes for those kids to dress like them, and they bought the video games, and they bought the CDs for the kids, and the kids were sitting here learning how to do dope, learning how to smoke dope, learning how to design to get a 9, design to get a Glock, design to get semi-automatic weapons right before our eyes, and the sad thing about it is. Two generations ago, we were people who loved God. We were people who went to church on Sunday and stayed all day.
I know I did. I ain't had no choice but to go to church when I was a kid.
You didn't have a choice. But the kids today, they got a choice. And they're going to always choose not to.
Amen.
And so by them you have parents come to church and you say, well, where's Junior? Well, Junior wouldn't get up. Junior wouldn't come to church. And how old
right,
is Junior
right.
again? Junior's 13. Junior don't have wants and don'ts. Why did you give Junior wants and don'ts at 13?
Mm-hmm. Negotiating
so,
with kids, basically.
It's a negotiation plan. You're exactly right. And so, basically, it wasn't negotiated. We're going to give you God, and then when you get grown, you decide if you still want it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But
exactly.
As long
but
as you're
today,
under this roof, you're going to take God.
Yeah, you're going to take God. You're going to take him. And I'm going to give you all I can to help you understand why I'm giving you God, and so forth and so on. And I'm not going to uphold you in your wrong. There are going to be consequences for your actions. Okay, and so you know the reason why they was able to take prayer out of school? Because prayer wasn't in the homes.
Amen. That's deep. Pastor. Go ahead.
See, if you don't have prayer in the home, you can't expect it to be at the school. You can't expect it to be on your job. You can't expect it to be anywhere you go. And so your children, so if you don't put prayer in your children, if you put prayer in your children, then they can't take prayer out of school.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because it's going to be in your child.
And your child's going to pray for his schoolmates. Your child is going to pray for his teacher. Amen. And so the problem is, and here's the problem. Here's why we're where we are today. And I feel like that. And my wife, if y'all want, she can come in after me. She can add to it, because these are things that we believe and we know, that when a people, you read the Bible, whenever Israel would turn their back on God, then they would go into bondage.
In bondage, yep, exactly.
But when they turn and they cried out to God, and they turned their face back to God, then the Lord came in and healed their land and delivered their children. And so some of the problem is, the main problem is we as a people, we as African American people, have basically turned our back on God. Watch this. We are still going to church, but we are still turning our back on God, because we come out of church and we go right back and we facilitate what our children are doing out here in the street.
Mm. Well, let me jump in and add something to that, Pastor, because I'm from the Cooper Road. And on the Cooper Road, we got 35 churches. And
right.
We got one of the most impoverished neighborhoods in the city, parish, state, and America.
Shouldn't be.
I mean, it's like the church has become more business-minded than socially conscious.
I want my wife to talk on that.
Angela, she hit it. You cannot put a dollar on God's word. And that's basically what I'm seeing happening in the church.
Right.
It's all about the dollar, and it's not about helping the community. Because I'm going to just keep it real. You got million-dollar cathedrals in the middle of crap holes. I mean, I'm going to say it again. You got million-dollar cathedrals in the middle of crap holes, neighborhoods that look like war zones and abandoned buildings everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the only time a lot of these pastors come to the neighborhood to talk about things is on Wednesdays and Sundays when they pass the collection plate around. You know, you two are out there on the forefront. You two are basically an anomaly, because you all are out there literally trying to change the neighborhood when we have a bunch of pastors who can't change the neighborhood. I'm just keeping it real. Then this from Rob Thomas Jr., the real new behind the new. You got a bunch of pastors who have committed so many sins and crimes
that they can't handle.
They cannot help the neighborhood, because if they do, they'll go to jail because they molested so many kids. Anyway, that's a whole different show. Talk on that for
us. No, this is the right show. This is the right show, I would say. This is the right show, because these are part of the problem. You know, the voice of the shepherd has been silenced by the shepherd. I'm going to let that sink in.
Sister Angela, go ahead and elaborate on what we just said.
I tell you, y'all said so much. I mean, you hit it right there. You hit the nail dead on the head, because even the Bible lets us know that sin is a reproach to any people, but
any
righteousness
people.
Exalted a
Exalt.
Nation. And
That's
my
right.
thing is, again, that we have to stop thinking about righteousness just as in the walls of the church. We have to understand that there are a righteous establishment that should happen, just like we talked about the police when we came on earlier. We were talking about how many people have been murdered by the hands of the police. Well, until we begin to understand that you are to be held accountable, because when you took that decree, when you took that office, you were authorized and deputized to serve people. But until the people that is suffering the most begin to cry out, and from every angle, not just a spiritual angle, like somebody said, once you get done praying, what are you praying for? You're seeking God for direction. You're asking God, what can I do? You are putting your hands to what you find your hands to do. And then when you get up from that prayer, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to action. And some things are are simple, but they are significant. Where are the community neighborhoods, neighborhood watch anymore? You know, we're allowing these situations and people to drown out community connectivity. Our neighbors, we don't know each other. We don't care about each other's children anymore.
We got to connect.
Well, you know, and we got to protect that. And so it cannot be, and this is, I want to say this, you know, this is not about me and my husband. It's really not. It's not about us.
No.
Because, as I said before, we've suffered some of these things from a firsthand account. People that we love, that we held at our heart closely, dearly, we've seen too much of it around us in our communities. And so the only thing we are is a voice that's crying out. But we understand one thing. Everything cannot be about the dollar. You are absolutely right. There are churches that you got enough money. Give into these communities. When we moved into the community that we in last year, we held a six-week. We have Leader Academy USA. There's
Talk
a six-week academy from 8:30 to 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday. We reach out to children that are probably that their parents can't afford to send them on vacation. We reached out to children that their grandparents are raising them, their grandmothers are raising them. We served over 100 kids, averaging 80-something a day. Everything. No government program, self-funded, volunteers, people from our church. We called in the police department. We called in the fire department. We
so that they can rub shoulder with our young kids.
We called them to come and to interact with these kids. This is your responsibility. And guess what? When you get done, we don't have a check to put in your hand.
Exactly.
And that is the
truth.
And for 6 weeks, we did that. Why? Because to make our name great? Absolutely not, because my name ain't going to save nobody. My name is not going to stop no crime. My name carry no weight except it be by the Lord. So not to make our name great, but to serve the people that we say that we are accountable to.
That we are called.
And all these
Should
people don't
to?
Sit on our pews every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday. They don't sit on our pews. But we got to make a difference. And so we gather those children to teach them about the leader that's inside of you, to teach them about getting in, being in control of your decision. And you know what? We put them on a bus, and we hauled them all around this city and around this state. We took them to Angola off our dollar. Why? Because it's right. And until we get back to that point, when we stop selling out families with the power of the pen, you bringing in casinos, but again, and you're making all these bogus false promises. We got the raggedest streets than we ever had. We got more schools and more educational facilities that have closed down than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't understand that you're selling families out. You making crack addicts.
Let me say this.
You're
mind
making
dopeheads
and alcoholics.
First Lady, let me say this. Mind you, when we took them to Angola, we didn't take them to Angola on a scared straight program. We took them to Angola on an educational program so that they could learn about how this prison system works.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can learn that at Angola they house the largest prison population around. That Louisiana is the prison capital of the world. We taught them that.
And
we talked to
you all.
And Angola feed, I'm sorry?
You all are coming out of your pocket for this.
That what I was just going to say. Y'all coming out of y'all pocket for all this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is not a business. This is a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I
want to
thank you all for that right now. I applaud you all for doing that, coming out of your pocket, because we know to do that, that is not cheap. And you all to be applauded for that, I mean, because I know that doesn't come cheap, but yeah, but let me ask you this: you all are residents of Bossier City, correct?
Bossier City. Uh huh.
Okay, so what's different? Because we know the crime rate in Bossier is not the same as the crime rate in Shreveport, correct?
I live in Bossier too, y'all. So I'm gonna tell you too. I live in Bossier right now, but I'm from the Cooper Road.
I am.
And so I want to ask, Pastor, what's the difference between Bossier and Shreveport, Pastors?
It's a atmosphere. let me say what it is. It is an atmosphere of if I can say this, righteousness.
Okay.
Let me show you why. And then there's a police presence. And so here's my problem. Well, not a problem. Here's my thought on this. We pay for a police presence because most of the time when people talk about, hey, I don't go to Bossier. Bossier police over there are bad. Well, for a long time, they had that and they built that reputation, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's over, okay? But now, because of people like myself, we're even holding them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And how do you hold them accountable? Number one, you do right.
That's it.
Job one, you do right. So if you do right, after a while, if they stop you and you're doing right, after a while, they're going to add up in their mind that you are not a nuisance to society.
Mm-hmm.
You get me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, number two, we deal with, we involve them in our community because that's their job. Whether you want to do it or not, that's your job.
That's it.
It's your job. And we hold them accountable for their actions. But at the same time, the city of Bossier put their money into stopping crime.
Because they know that the crime continues, those casinos will not prosper. The city of Shreveport can't grasp hold to the fact that businesses are not locating in Shreveport because of the crime, because of the low expectations of the educational system.
You know, you
got so much violence in your community. Who the hell gonna want to put a business on the Cooper Road? That's my neighborhood. But who gonna want to put a business in Allendale, Lakeside, Queensboro, when niggas is getting shot every day? You know,
okay.
I'm just keeping it real. Y'all excuse my language.
Okay. Let the pastor continue with his points before we run out of time.
Yeah. Go
okay.
ahead.
Well, it's you know you're at, but he's exactly right. It's not conducive for family. Bossier City is committed to community. We are committed to raising. Watch yourself. Do you notice that there are no magnet schools in Bossier? There are no magnet schools in Bossier.
I've never really
noticed that. All our schools are passing, though. All our schools are passing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All our schools have to operate. You know, we hold teachers accountable. Holding everybody accountable. That's it. Holding everybody to accountability. The city councilmen, they need, you know, right now, our officers haven't had a raise since 2002. So you know what me and some of the citizens are going to do? We're going to go to the council meeting and ask them why they can't get these people a raise. In the fact that no murders in Bossier, don't that mean something to you all?
Exactly.
And so we are building a coalition. Me and some of the other business owners, some store owners,
mm-hmm.
we're doing it. I want to acquiesce and kind of move over. But you know what? Stores in our neighborhood. We are not allowing any more stores in our neighborhood to open up to sell us more alcohol.
There you go.
No
Amen.
Cigarettes.
Amen.
No alcohol. Right. And if you're selling dope out of your store, you're getting shut down.
Amen.
And that's the thing. That's what has to happen. All these foreigners coming here, moving in, they are not helping our neighborhood, not one iota. They don't. All the thing they do is bring more sin, more debauchery. They don't help us at all. They're not going to give you anything. They're not that you need a handout, but they don't help us. They don't help us. They don't help us spiritually. They don't help us physically.
And that's something Robert and I we talk about a lot, and we're trying to get black people to see what's going on. I try not to shop in any store that has a policy says that no refunds, exchanges only, because to me, you know your product is not any good, you know, and so you don't want it back. But, you know, it's like the incident, maybe Robert can remember, when the young lady was stopped from allegedly shoplifting in the store, and the guy put it in a chokehold, and then the people in the neighborhood. Yeah, they wanted to protest so
they
he could come
up
out of the neighborhood. Exactly. But here's the thing. They should have protested him even coming in the neighborhood in the first place.
Exactly. He should never be set up shop.
Exactly. Because if you look at that area, I mean, with them, they are saturating the black community. So, which simply means that we don't want you to have to come out of the black neighborhood for nothing. You do not have to go to Walmart. We have your liquor stores. We have your clothing stores. We got a washer tiers for you. Whatever. We got the fake jewelry
but we'll
for
have
you
no
if you want to.
No doctor.
There you
no
go.
School, no
there
doctor.
There you go. There you go.
I buy America. I'm not ashamed to say it. I buy America.
Amen.
Well,
that's my right.
Let me jump in real quick, y'all, because we talked about a lot of stuff, but Pastor Lonnie and Sister Pastor Angela, tell us what are some of the solutions, because we're supposed to talk more about solutions than the problem, because we all, everybody that live in the hood know what the problem is. Niggas getting shot. So let's talk about the solutions to these problems.
Well, one solution then, I want you to come, Suzanne, but one solution is if there's a problem, if there's a hemorrhaging, okay, if there's a wound, you stop the hemorrhaging. And the way to stop the hemorrhaging is to go after the kids.
Exactly. Let me jump in, Pastor, because I always say, if you control the mind of the children, you can control the heart of a nation. It all starts with your children. Exactly. Go ahead, Pastor. Finish up.
And so that's why, and I'm not trying to put a plug in for LEAD Academy, but that is the exact reason why this LEAD Academy was born out of the heart, out of the heart of my wife and I. God birthed this thing. You know, He birthed this thing through my wife, and I am the father of it. You understand? She's the mother. She produced this thing, and this thing is to directly impact the youth of our communities to change their minds concerning it, so that they'll understand why the police are running after their brother, because your brother is selling dope. So we can stop that, nip that at the bud, change the next generation, and then you'll have a change in the nation.
And it's called
you got
the
to change
program.
The hearts and minds. It's called Generation LEAD. It's LEAD Academy. Generation LEAD. All things LEAD. And I'm gonna leave that so my wife can. I'm gonna let her when I finish. I'm gonna let her share how that changes. How that is the solution. Because if you got a 20-something year old, unless he get an epiphany or something, he's going to continue on that track.
Exactly.
That he's going. We're gonna try to reach him. We're gonna try to reach them. But the emphasis needs to be on our academy goes from start at the age of five and goes up, okay? And so that has to be the thing, that we have to impact them, impact their mind, change their mind, give them a God conscious, give them a God kind of consciousness. And so when you reach the children, then you can reach the parents. So that's our point. First Lady, you know, can you come in and then add to that?
I think one of the I think one of the main solutions is, and of course we don't have all the answers, but Mr. Thomas, I do think that one of the main solutions is we got to go back to grassroots efforts. President Obama showed us. He showed America.
He showed
the world the impact that could be done when you bring forth a grassroots effort. And we have got to, in other words, begin to wake people up. That's what we're trying to do. We're connecting with, we're collaborating with other churches. And let me say this on just on the behalf of other churches. We're collaborating with other churches, and because there are many other people that are doing things, maybe everybody is not as outward or not as vocal as we've been here lately, but there are other people that are doing things. But we're going into the communities, collaborating with other churches, at, talking with other pastors, talking with other leaders, other business owners, and coming back to this place of accountability. If you move into a community, you are accountable for righteousness. And I don't mean spirituality. You don't have to go to my church. You don't have to believe what I believe about salvation, but you are held accountable to not to sell our children alcohol. You can't sell our children, though. You cannot do, I should not pass by your store 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and see 13 or 14 or 15-year-old boys hanging out.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And so that's what my thing is. One of the main solutions here, now our problem has outnumbered families. So we have to have an intervention. We got to get the city government to see this as a city crisis, because
Amen.
There are resources that can be brought into these communities. There are mentorship programs that can be brought into these communities. There's more than more friendship houses. There's where are the prayer houses. What's to say that we cannot, these abandoned properties? We got to begin to speak hope to our children again. We got to show them more than something just police and rules.
Amen.
We got to speak hope. We got to bring to them the spirit to dream again, the spirit to know that you're greater.
Right.
And we have to do that as a city. And so my thing is the government, the spiritual and the religious arena of our city, as well as the businesses and the educational system of our city, has to at some point all put their hands in this pot to make things better. And we got to start with our children, and it has to be from a grassroots effort.
Amen. We have about 2 minutes left. If someone wants to get in touch with you all about your church and the programs that you all have going, your next event that you're holding, how may they contact you all?
Okay, Pastor, let me say this. Let me make this one addition to Lead Academy.
You got 2 minutes.
We were able to do this because we did come. We were a site for, we are also a summer feeding site. And that has helped us tremendously. That has helped us tremendously. Because I said
we didn't do anything for
the government property. But no, we did start out. But I just wanted to make that. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We're not, we don't hold it, but we are a site of another company, and they help us like that. So we were able to serve so many kids. But anyway, go ahead, Pastor, with our address and everything. I'm sorry.
You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us on Facebook, City of Truth Worship Center. And then also you can reach us, Angela Spates, Lonnie Spates, our name. You can type our name up and you'll see, because we are ministry minded on our Facebook page. So anything we have, you can access us there. We'll have many pictures. Lead Academy, Generation Lead has its own entity, has its own Facebook page. So we can be accessed by Generation Lead to see more or to learn more about our Lead Academy. I'm sorry, it's called Lead Academy USA. I'm sorry, go ahead, baby.
Mm-hmm. And let me give our physical address. It's 2366 Barksdale Boulevard. That's our physical address, 2366 Barksdale Boulevard. And it's in Bossier City. And also at 12 o'clock noon every day, Monday through Saturday, we host a prayer call where we connect with many people around the city, and we encourage prayer and community connectivity on the city, and that's under my name, Angela Spates. S-P-A-T-E-S.
Okay, and if
okay, I want both of y'all to send me y'all links. Give me just a second. I want both of y'all to send me y'all links to my Facebook page so I can share that with all my listeners on Injustice Investigation and the Real News Behind the News. But I need y'all to send it to me. You can do an inbox or whatever, but send it to me, and I can go ahead and start sharing that today. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, we thank you all for coming on the show. We are about out of time. Again, we apologize to our listeners for having to start at 2 o'clock rather than 1 o'clock today. But we will see you again tomorrow at 1 p.m. on Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott. As always, we exist without fear, and we will see you on the radio. Robert, get the last word.
Hey, y'all be blessed. The solution is take control and patrol your own neighborhood. If you see something,
right,
say something. All this not snitching and all that stuff is only a way for organized crime and other criminals to continue to operate in your neighborhood without fear of reprisal or consequences. Take control and patrol your own neighborhood.
Take control. That's it. That's right.
Thank you,
Alan.
Thank you, Alan. We celebrate you, Alan, what you are doing. Keep at it. God bless you. God keep his hand up on you and make his face shine upon you mightily. Keep at it.
We receive that in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. You all be blessed.
Y'all too.
Right.
Thank y'all
God
so
bless.
Much for having us.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget
Bye-bye.
To send me a link to you all's page, social media page.
We'll do it now.
All right. Y'all be blessed.
God bless you too. Be safe.